The title of this message is called Our Good Father. The prophet Malachi is speaking in chapter 4, 1 to 6. And he says, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse." I'm going to leave that for a minute, and I'll come back and touch on it again in a bit. God's plan for mankind, as presented in Scripture, is built around relationships. God created the heavens and the earth and plants and animals, none of which he could have a relationship with until he created people. First, he created a man, but then seeing that this man was alone, which he said was not good, he created a female companion for him. Genesis 2:18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." The two greatest commandments, as confirmed by Jesus himself, are to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Positive, healthy, loving relationships with God and with others are fundamental to God's design. Yet those very relationships were damaged by the third chapter of Genesis. Three chapters in, those relationships were broken. Between them, Adam and Eve opted to disregard the boundaries that God established in the Garden of Eden, and sin entered the world, contaminating man's relationship with their Creator and with one another. The family unit, father, mother, and children, was ordained by God to be one of mutual love and respect. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, refers to the Ten Commandments as he counsels families on right relationships. Ephesians 6:1 to 4, we read, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." The condition of sin, which keeps people from a right relationship with their Creator, plays itself out most profoundly within families. We live in a time when broken families are the norm, and consequently many children grow up damaged by unhealthy relationships with their parents and others, arising from their parents' own brokenness. The consequences of unconfessed and unforgiven sin frequently becomes generational, with all players trapped in bondage and captivity to wrong thinking and hurtful behaviors that are handed down from parent to child. As early as in Exodus chapter 25, the Lord says, "You shall not bow down to them," to these other people groups, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." The role of a father is critical in a child's development, and the impact of fathers' negative behaviors on their children, things such as being absent, abusive, negative role models, inconsistent, can and often does affect children throughout their adult life. Many fathers today, and I'm not saying this is a contemporary problem, I think this is a human nature problem, but many fathers today are simply not good fathers. Because we all fall short of the glory of God, when we become parents, we cannot help but fail our children because of our own issues. The Old Testament is filled with accounts of fathers who have let their children down, and the consequences for those children as they live out their lives with that damage. We know that even in Christian homes, things can go wrong. Relationships are broken, and children can be wounded in ways that their parents often never fully comprehend. The work that I do, and I know I make reference to this frequently when I speak, but the work that I do brings me into very close contact regularly with quite damaged children. And just very recently, well, both boys I've been working with for a long time, but there have been issues very recently that have made me think about the importance of a father in the lives, particularly in young teenage boys. One of my boys, his father is not on his birth certificate. His father does not have parental responsibility. He's been raised from a baby by his auntie. And although he knows who his father is and he has contact with him, his father's never been a part of his life. And he got mad at his auntie recently, and he said he didn't want to live with her anymore and he wanted to go and live with his father. It became a big mess, but I understand what the auntie did. I think she just wanted to, you know, okay, this is what you want, then let's go and experience this. And this lad, she took him to his father and said, he wants to live with you. And he stayed there for a few weeks, not very long. But clearly in this boy's mind, being reunited with his father was going to fix everything, that he was going to feel what he had been missing all those years growing up, his auntie as a single parent. It went badly wrong. He wasn't happy. He realized he would rather be with his auntie. And there was I'd prayed a lot for that child. And he made the decision himself that he wanted to go back home. And I was very grateful. Another boy, his father left the home when he was very, very small, and he was the perpetrator of domestic violence in the home, leaving the mother very fearful. And the boys, you know, as a young boy, he's been absolutely delightful, and he's got a few issues, but he hasn't been a problem. But very recently, and I do think that adolescence has got a lot to do with it, but he's become very difficult for his mother. And he's started to show behaviors that are coercive and manipulating and sometimes aggressive and intimidating. And mother is now very fearful that her son is going to end up being the same sort of person that his father had been in that short marriage. The role of a father is so critical to a child. And God most definitely has a heart for children who are fatherless. References to God's provision for the fatherless are numerous. I just chose a couple from the Psalms. The first one is from Psalm 27:10. "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." And then Psalm 68:5, "Father of the fatherless, a defender of widows, is God in his holy habitation." In my years as a Christian and I suppose in my own experience and also working with people who have come to know the Lord, I think that there's frequently a difficulty with new Christians particularly, in internalizing, both in their hearts and in their minds, a right understanding of God's character as a father. We cannot help but transfer how we feel about our own fathers to our beliefs about God. This can be a problem even for people who were raised in a stable and loving home, if wrong thinking has crept in, distorting their belief about what is required to gain their father's approval. If I grew up believing that I needed to succeed at things to make my father proud of me, then I will either work very hard to be successful, or I will give up and choose failure and rejection. And this could really affect how I approach my relationship with God. If my father was always angry and short-tempered and unwilling to listen to my voice, then it would be easy for me to believe that God is waiting to find fault and punish me and is not interested in my perspective. If my father abandoned my mother and me and was never a part of my life, then I could very well find it hard to trust God and believe that He will never leave me or forsake me. Earthly fathers will fail us, even the ones who try very hard to get it right. Good-hearted fathers who love their children and do their best to be an effective parent will still fall victim to their own besetting sins, which will affect their relationship with their children and will undoubtedly contribute to what their children will grow up believing is normal. That's why it is so very important to know that in God we have a good father. It's very fascinating to see how infrequently God is spoken of as a father in the Old Testament compared with the New. References are there, but nothing like as plentiful as in the New Testament. I selected one from Isaiah because I thought it really it contributes well to what I'm trying to say here. But Isaiah 64:8. "But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter, and all we are the work of your hand." In the New Testament, with the birth of God's only begotten Son, His role as a father is magnified. What makes a good father? Well, I did my own little brainstorm earlier this week, and I really believe it's a useful exercise for each of us to perhaps make a list of what we believe are the qualities of a good father, and then reflect on and search the scriptures for examples of how God exhibits those qualities. This is in no particular order, but first on my list was a good father shows unconditional love. And I'm reminded of the story of the prodigal son, who the father welcomed home with open arms despite everything that he had done, because he loved him without condition. And I think for human fathers, that's a very difficult thing to do, a human parent. You know, we expect our children to be certain ways and to behave in certain ways. And it's perhaps very easy to let them believe that they have to meet our standards before we're going to love them. And that isn't how God operates. The next on my list was present in our lives and interested in us as individuals, never leaving us or forsaking us. The age of the mobile phone, I see it so frequently, where parents could very well be physically present with their children, but mentally and emotionally, they're so distant from their child. They're on their phone, they're texting somebody else, they're searching social media, and they're not interacting with their child. Present, but not present. A good father is there for his child and spends quality time letting them know that they're interested in their child for the person that he or she is. On a very basic level, we know that a good father is going to provide food, clothing, shelter, and emotional security. I work with lots of children who go home to homes where they feel anything but safe emotionally. It's no wonder that they struggle with relationships when they don't know where they stand when they walk through the door of their own home day in and day out. A good father makes personal sacrifices for the benefit of his children. My oldest daughter's partner has a son from a previous marriage, and although that's riddled with complication, I admire and I observe him making all sorts of personal sacrifices to ensure that he spends regular time with his son who doesn't live with them. And it is a personal sacrifice. I see what he does, and I admire that, because he's sending, at least that message that he sends to his son is that you are valued, and I am willing to sacrifice my own needs to be able to be with you. A good father will give gifts without strings attached. I see presents being used frequently in families to buy good behavior, to be used as rewards for complying with whatever the expectation might be, rather than just a gift because I'm giving this to you because I love you. Kind of like Mrs. Tiggywinkle back there. I think that's just a gift because somebody loves you, Olivia. But that's important, gifts that are just given without having to do anything in return. A good father validates who you are and encourages you to be the best version of yourself. That is sadly lacking in lots of homes that I work with, where the child feels like they actually are worth something. I work with lots of children who feel completely unworthy, and that there's nothing, they're not good. They're not good at anything, they're not good as people, they're not validated as human beings at all. Another thing that a good father does, and I think this is one that gets fought against frequently, is that a good father sets boundaries to keep you safe. It's really easy for adults to relinquish their responsibility about setting boundaries because it's hard work. Holding the line with children and ensuring that they follow instructions about things that will keep them safe takes consistency. And a lot of parents don't want to invest that kind of effort. God clearly sets boundaries for us, for our safety, not because to be cruel to us, not to make our lives unpleasant. They're there to protect us. And when we understand that we are the children of a good father who's trying to keep us safe, it makes discipline so much easier because we can trust that those guidelines are there for our benefit. But without the boundaries, children don't know where they stand. I see so many children who can't accept authority, who can't behave in an appropriate way because nobody's ever instilled a sense of boundaries for them. Following that, a good father is reliable and consistent, not choppy and changey, and what sort of a mood are you in today, and you know, always solid and reliable and can be trusted. A good father is a good role model, behaves in a way that can be followed by the children. We were kind of speaking at the deacons' meeting the other night about how sad it is that some children, you know, they grow up in homes where they don't watch a father and a mother going out to work. And for them, the whole idea of going and having a job is they don't understand it because they've not observed it. They've not had that role model as something to raise that expectation for them. A good father is a good role model. A good father rescues and supports in times of trouble. I was reminded of a time when I was in my last year of high school, so I know the education system is different in this country, but I was a senior in high school, and a friend of mine and I, it was a guy friend, he wasn't a boyfriend, he was a guy friend. We were both interested in the same university in California. And he had this little orange VW bug. What do you guys call them? The little beetle. And so we were in Montana, and we drove from Montana to California in this Beetle to go and visit the university in California. So that took a couple of days to get there. On the way home, this car completely broke down. I mean, I don't know how we ever fixed it, if it ever did get fixed. But it broke down in Idaho between California and Montana. And my father, bless his heart, when we rang and said, we're stranded, the car's broken down, we're in Idaho, he got in a car and he drove from Montana to Idaho and he found us and picked us up and took us back. But how horrible that situation would have been if I didn't have a father that I could call upon to come and rescue me when I was stranded on the side of a road out in the middle of nowhere in Idaho. A good father, and this is something that I find uncomfortable because and if my father ever did listen to this message, Dad, forgive me, but this is not part of my life experience. A good father knows how to have fun and enjoy life. I think those of you who've got to know me over the years probably recognize that I know how to work, but I'm not really good at knowing how to have fun. And I come by it honestly because I was raised in a home where we didn't really do a whole lot to have fun. We did a lot of work, and we worked to show that we kind of made the cut. But I have to admit, I never learned how to have fun. And I feel really bad because I feel that I wasn't able to pass that on to my children either because I never learned how to do it. But I think that there's a lot of evidence in Scripture that God wants us to have an abundant life that's filled with, I mean, dare I say fun. My father told me, Heidi, the word fun doesn't appear in the Bible. Okay, you're right, it doesn't. But I still think that God wants us to enjoy our life, and he blesses us for our enjoyment. He may not say fun, but there is singing and dancing and things like that. So, right. That was my little brainstorm. I do challenge you to carry this exercise out yourself because I think it's interesting when you list what you think would make a good father, all the ways that God is those things for us regularly in our Christian walk. Our good Heavenly Father is all of these on my little brainstorm list and more. In a world broken by sin and separation from God, good things still happen. James reminds us in chapter 1, 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God sends blessings to the just and the unjust. We know that God draws individual hearts to himself through his love. And I know that one of the things that I try very hard to do with my own children who don't know the Lord is to signpost all the blessings in their lives as an act of our good Father who loves them. The greatest gift of all is that he sent his Son into the world, providing us with a way to be adopted into his family so that we can experience all of the benefits that Jesus has as his Son. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, which means we share God as our Father. The New Testament is filled with references to God as our Father. They're far too numerous to go through. I actually selected far fewer scriptures this time because there's just too many. But one thing, and I know that the passage that Rob chose for this morning was from the Gospel of John, and I would recommend going to John and reading that, just looking for the references to God as a Father. When we accept Christ as our Savior, we are released from the bondage of our sinful nature and from the wounds caused by our broken relationships. Our good Father sent his Son to set the captives free, and we are all captives of the enemy until we are released and welcomed as a child of God. Romans 8, 15 to 16, Paul writes, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Now, we all bear some resemblance, both in our appearance and in our behaviors, to our parents. One of the outcomes of our salvation and our subsequent walk with the Lord is that God's Spirit is working in us to make us look like and behave like His one and only begotten Son. And Jesus looks like His Father. So that means we're becoming more and more in appearance like God as we grow more in appearance like Jesus. Back to John again, chapter 14, 9, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" When I was a teenager, I really enjoyed the music of Amy Grant. And there was a song that she'd written called "My Father's Eyes," which even now, many years later, still touches my heart. But the lyrics begin, "I may not be every mother's dream for her little girl, and my face may not grace the mind of everyone in the world, but that's all right. As long as I can have one wish, I pray. When people look inside my life, I want to hear them say, 'She's got her father's eyes.'" Further on in the book of John, Jesus describes in his high priestly prayer the intimate relationship we are brought into when we become a brother or sister of Christ. In John 17, 20 to 23, "I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me." How amazing that everything Christ has received from His Father is available to us as His adopted children. We must claim this in faith. Our witness to the world depends on our confidence in our identity as a child of the King. Many children lack confidence in who they are because of failures in the parenting they received from birth. Our good Father is perfect, reliable, loving, who, as Isaiah told us, formed us into the individuals that we are. And once we have been freed from the captivity of sin and the brokenness it causes, we must be confident in our identity as the new creation that we are in Christ. And we must be confident that God loves us in the same way He loves His Son. John 3:16 to 17, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." He is a good Father. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so humbled by the truth that everything that you've bestowed upon your Son, Jesus Christ, is ours as well. I think most of us live our lives not tapping into even a fraction of what you have available, Lord, for us. I know that so many children in this world don't know who they are, and they struggle with their identity because of failures in the parenting that they've experienced. But Lord, You, as our Heavenly Father, are very clear about who we are. And I ask that You would work in each of our hearts to give us that confidence, that certain knowledge that we can raise our heads high, we can go out into the very difficult world that we are in, and we can live our lives knowing that You are our Father, we are Your child, and that we, over time, are beginning to resemble You more and more so that the outside world can see you in action and be drawn to you through love. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you are our good Father. In Jesus' name, amen.